You know, it's not uncommon today to hear people say, let's just preach Jesus. And that's often in response to those who would preach and teach about baptism. And a lot of modern day preachers rarely mention baptism in their preaching. But what does it mean to preach Jesus? And if you preach Jesus, should it include baptism? And if so, what else should preaching Jesus include? You know, in the book of Acts, chapter 8, we read about the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, who was on his return home from Jerusalem and was met by Philip the evangelist. In verses 26 through 29 of that passage, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit spoke to Philip and said, go near and overtake this chariot." Then we see that this eunuch, this Ethiopian, invited Philip to sit and explain a passage from the book of Isaiah. We see in verse 30 now that Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the eunuch responded, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. Verse 32 says, "The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" So beginning with the passage in Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, we note that Philip preached Jesus to this eunuch. In verse 35, it says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." You know, we can learn what it means to preach Jesus from what is written regarding the conversion of this Ethiopian eunuch. For example, we can consider the fact of Isaiah's quote. The passage tells us that Jesus died for our sins. That's in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 11. The passage reveals here the reason for the Messiah's suffering. The death of Christ for our sins was fundamental to the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3, "Brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, but by which also you were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Preaching Jesus, therefore, proclaims his death for our sins." Another fact is that Jesus has been exalted. Isaiah's prophecy begins and ends with this exaltation of the Messiah. Isaiah 52, verse 13, and Isaiah 53, and verse 12. And the theme of Jesus' exaltation is filling in Peter's preaching. Acts chapter 2, the great sermon on the day of Pentecost in verse 36. Acts chapter 5, verses 30 and 31. So we see that the preaching of Jesus pronounces that he has been exalted by God. So another thing from Isaiah's quotation is that we learn that preaching Jesus includes preaching how Jesus died for our sins, and that he has now been exalted to the right hand of God. So let's consider what we learn about the preaching of Jesus from the eunuch's question. It was an important question. We notice the first question asked by the eunuch in verse 36 of chapter 8 of Acts. He said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, preaching Jesus clearly included preaching on baptism. So really, baptism was important to Jesus and his apostles. In fact, Jesus commanded it in giving of his great commission. In Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In Mark's account in chapter 16, verses 15 to 16, he says to them there, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So we see here that baptism is vital to preaching Jesus. It was included in Jesus' message, and it was also included in the apostles' commanding in their preaching. Peter commanded it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And we see it also commanded at the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 47 and 48. The apostles wrote about its value in their letters. Romans chapter 6, 1 Peter chapter 3. So preaching Jesus, therefore, includes preaching baptism. Now there's another interesting fact about this story of the Ethiopian eunuch. When he asked that question, "What hinders me from being baptized?" that was in immediate response to Philip's preaching. He was anxious to obey. The Ethiopian eunuch could not wait to obey. He understood the importance and that it needed to be done then. And Philip was willing to accommodate him. In chapter 8 of verse 38 and verse 38 of Acts, we see that he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and he baptized him. So let's ask the question, why was it so urgent? Why not just wait till they got to a town or to a church and take care of this problem, this need then? Others throughout the book of Acts were baptized immediately, some even after midnight, like in Acts chapter 16 with the Philippian jailer. You know, the reason for this urgency is clearly taught in other places. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. So why wait? In Acts 22 and verse 16, as Paul recounts his own baptism, he said that Ananias told him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. Why would you want to wait? We experience the working of God and put on Christ in baptism. Paul writes in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 12, that we are buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together, having forgiven you all your trespasses. If you had a chance to have all of your bills erased, how long would you have to think about it? How long would you have to think about it? And here you have a chance to have all of your sins forgiven. Why do we choose to wait? Paul would also say in Galatians 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So what we see here is that preaching Jesus therefore calls upon people to be baptized quickly. Quickly, not waiting. There is some urgency in this message, in this preaching of Jesus. But also from the Ethiopian eunuch's question, we see the importance and immediacy of baptism clearly being taught, but it's taught at other places as well. Look at Philip's qualification. He pointed out that there was a necessity of faith. Philip's response to the eunuch's question qualified who should be baptized in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. Philip said, "If you believe, you may." Faith is a necessary prerequisite to baptism, and that excludes infant baptism. So we see that really faith is necessary in order to obtain salvation. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. Through faith, we can have life in His name. John 20, verses 30 and 31. And we see that baptism is a working of God when our faith is present. Again, Paul writes in Colossians 2 and verse 12 that we are buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. So we see here that preaching Jesus demands faith in Jesus before baptism. But Philip also implies another necessity, the necessity of heartiness. Philip required a wholehearted faith from the eunuch. We see in Acts 8 and verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Baptism without that kind of faith renders us as just simply wet. The sort of hearty sincerity that God has always required is what we have to have. We see that by the children of Israel under the law of Moses, Matthew 22, verse 37. We see it by the partakers of Christ today under this new covenant in Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Preaching Jesus, therefore, requires more than just a mental acknowledgement of who Jesus is, and it requires more before baptism. And yet there's a lot of people today that said, oh, let's just preach Jesus. I don't know that they fully understand what they're demanding, what they're saying is necessary, or what they want. Because Jesus certainly involves more than just preaching Jesus. It involves preaching about repentance, that though not such is not mentioned in our text, but we can look at passages like Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. Preaching Jesus involves preaching about the resurrection of Christ. Even though it's not mentioned, we can look at passages like Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. But from this conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, we see that preaching Jesus is necessary, and that it must include preaching about the suffering and exaltation of Christ. Preaching then is the necessity, preaching the necessity and immediacy of baptism to a sincere believer. Today there's a lot of people that do not preach Jesus as Philip and the apostles did in the New Testament. They ignore baptism altogether. They say it's not necessary. And they call upon people to just say a sinner's prayer. And by the way, where is that found? I have yet in my 57 years of living and 30 some odd years of studying and preaching to find a sinner's prayer in God's New Testament passages. I would love for someone that's listening to point it out to me, and then point out to me where that's all we have to do. The preaching of Philip calls upon people to pray, most definitely. But when apostolic preaching also is calling for people to be baptized. So let me ask you, has Jesus truly been preached to you as Philip preached it to the eunuch? If it has, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, and have your sins forgiven. Be baptized before it's everlasting too late. There is some urgency. I want to thank you for being with me today. And if you'd like to contact me, you can look me up on the Church of Christ website. That's churchofchrist@eastside.com. Thank you very much.